morning. I have a little bit of an introduction, and we're going to look at verses 26 to 45 here this morning. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. It is Christmas. One size fits all. He fits right in our heart. And we'll never find ourselves in the exchange line. It's an eternal gift from you, Lord. And may we be mindful of that, not just on December 25th, but every moment of every day. We have a lot to be thankful for, the greatest gift of all, the Son of God who loved us and gave his life for us. And so, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, encourage us. I know it's a very familiar story with a lot of us, but just refresh our hearts and minds this morning of the true meaning of Christmas, would you please? In Jesus' name, amen. Verses 26 to 45, we'll read through and then we'll come back and see what the Lord has for us. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and her cell phone went off. And considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest." Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Bless you. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. I love this. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Wow. Great story. It's not by coincidence this morning that we're in the Gospel of Luke. Our text on the virgin birth is actually written by a physician. I call him Luke, the beloved pediatrician. It's for good reason that God allows a doctor to write about the virgin birth. I wonder how many physicians today truly believe that there was a virgin birth. Colossians 4:14 calls Luke, Dr. Luke, the beloved physician. And through Luke, Dr. Luke, God confirms the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That is so important. God uses Dr. Luke, the beloved physician, who writes with compassion in the warmth of a family doctor, to carefully document the perfect humanity as well as the deity of the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who will be born in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Before we begin our study this morning, I believe it's important that we look at the first four verses in chapter 1 as Dr. Luke dedicates his writing to one by the name of Theophilus. Theophileo is the term, which actually means God lover, lover of God. Now, we don't know from history who Theophileo was or Theophilus, but you know what we can do? We can take this personally. Lovers of God. That's who we are. We love God. And so this message through the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of Luke is written to you and I, God lovers, lovers of God. And every year, or even during the year, when we read this incredible story, it's again a reminder of the tremendous gift that God has given you and I that lasts eternally through his Son. God lover. We can take this personally. And so in the first four verses, what Dr. Luke writes is an orderly narrative. Doctors must be accurate in what they write. And so in the first four verses, he says this is an orderly narrative. Because all it takes is for a doctor to make one mistake, especially on a prescription, and it can cost a person their life. And you know what? What he writes here in an orderly account is life-changing, isn't it? It's an incredible message. Also, he writes of those things that have been fulfilled. And we know that by history. All of the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus Christ has fulfilled, the odds are insurmountable. There's no number for the odds of proving who Jesus Christ is by the Old Testament prophets. Luke, he also writes, had perfect understanding. Perfect understanding. He writes to lovers of God in an orderly account. And again, confirmation of what we're going to read here this morning, that we may know these things for certain. And as with the rest of the scriptures, they are given by the inspiration of God, the person of the Holy Spirit. Before we get to verse 26 this morning, verses 5 to 25 deal with yet another miraculous birth. And this again is part of the introduction. A son born to a couple. The scripture is very gracious, isn't it? A couple that was well advanced in years. I like that. I'm not old, I'm just well advanced in years. Their names were Elizabeth and Zacharias. And because they were well advanced in years, as we know physically and humanly, it was impossible for Elizabeth to bear a child. And it even says in that text that she was barren. It was physically impossible for them to produce a child, both of them. But that's where the title of the message came from this morning. With God, nothing is impossible. We are going to see two miracle births in this chapter here this morning. One to a couple well advanced in years will be promised, and the other, a virgin birth. That's the God that we serve, whom with nothing is impossible. And so prior to the virgin birth of Jesus, Dr. Luke, the blessed pediatrician, is going to record another miraculous birth. You can read it if you like. We're not going to cover it this morning. But The angel Gabriel paid a visit to Zacharias before he did to Mary, and he told Zacharias that Elizabeth was going to bear a son, and they will call his name John. And he would fulfill the Old Testament scriptures. Why? Because Isaiah 40 verse 3 tells us that there would be a forerunner of the Messiah, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And so prior to the Messiah coming, the forerunner of Messiah will be born also. The forerunner of Jesus Christ, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And you know what? God's voice is still crying out today, especially this time of the year. Make straight the way of the Lord. It's so important that we take advantage of this time of the year to give people the true Christmas story and not the Xmas story. I'm not going to rip on Santa, Rudolph, or Frosty this morning. I'll probably wait till Christmas Day to do that. There was an angel who brought the news to Zechariah. And guess what? That same angel, Gabriel, check this out, 500 years earlier, brought a message to Isaiah, and he hadn't aged a bit, because angels are eternal beings. And so there he is, bringing the good news, 500 years after the prophecy of Zechariah to Daniel. Or he's bringing the prophecy now 500 years later to Zechariah. And it's now an angel, Gabriel, who will pay the virgin by the name of Mary a visit. So let's look at verses 26 to 28 again. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, Nazareth wasn't the best of towns to bring up a child in. A lot of crime, a lot of drunkenness there. That's what Nazareth was known for, unfortunately. But isn't it just like the Lord to use people out of an area like that? To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And what we see before us here this morning is the beginning of the true Christmas story. This is what it's all about. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. God tells us in advance what is about to take place. And he told the prophets, hundreds, even some of them thousands of years prior, what would take place on this earth when God the Son would come and be born of a virgin. Even the star of Bethlehem is prophetic in the Old Testament. Where he would be born, how he would be born. God tells us in advance, Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. I wonder what Isaiah thought when he wrote down those words. A virgin conceiving. Oy vey. Because we know that physically it's impossible. Physically it's impossible for a virgin to conceive, but that which will be conceived in Mary's womb will be of the person of the Holy Spirit. It says here in the sixth month, we just followed the angel's visit to Elizabeth. She was 6 months pregnant now, and now it's in the sixth month of her pregnancy that God sends an angel, Gabriel, to the city of Nazareth. And Dr. Luke makes it very clear that Gabriel was sent to a virgin, and the virgin's name was Mary. Twice we see the term virgin to make it very, 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 very clear that Mary had no physical relations with a man, and that's why she's kind of confused when he tells her that she's going to conceive and bear a son. Nazareth itself was just a small village of a few hundred people. Sometimes we think of a huge city. Of course, it would have to be a huge city where Jesus was born, but it was only a city of a few hundred people, and it's about 75 miles from Jerusalem. It was well off the beaten path. It was not on major trade routes. It was a humble little city. And immediately we're going to see the humility of God's plan. That's the way God works, doesn't he? Jesus very well could have been the child of a virgin living in Jerusalem. And one would think that that would be the place where the Son of God would be born, the holy city of Jerusalem. But it's amazing how God works. Why? Because he works in ways prophetically to remove any doubt. And yes, Jesus would not be born in Nazareth, but he would be Jesus of Nazareth because that's where he was raised. But Scripture tells us prophetically that he would be born in Bethlehem. And again, when we read the rest of the Christmas story, I'm sure which you're very much familiar with, Joseph had to go and register as part of being the lineage of King David in Bethlehem. And wouldn't you know, the timing was absolutely perfect that when they got there, Mary went into labor and she bore the Son of God in the very city that the prophets prophesied, the city of Bethlehem. And it's not by coincidence that the city means the house of bread, because that's where the bread of life, Jesus Christ, would be born, in Bethlehem. And so here we see that they are in Nazareth. Immediately we see the humility in God's plan. And Jesus very well could have been the child of a virgin in Jerusalem, like I said. But God chose a young, poor virgin from Nazareth. And she was betrothed. The term is kiddushin in Hebrew. She was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. His name means he shall add. Engagement was just as binding in those days as marriage was. Today we take not only engagements lightly, they get broken, but the same thing happens, unfortunately, with marriage today. People take marriage lightly. When I counsel people in my office for premarital counseling, I let them know that this is the second most important decision you'll make in your life. The first is Jesus, and the second is who you will be spending the rest of your life with together as one. Knitted together, the Bible says, joined together. And what God has joined together, let no man separate. And so in Israel, engagement was just as binding as marriage. And to break an engagement only happened through death or divorce. That's the only way it could take place. And so Joseph, it says, was of the house of David, meaning that he was a descendant of Israel's greatest king. And Scripture said that the Messiah would be through the seed of David, the root of Jesse, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And that's why in Matthew chapter 1, for the first, 17 verses, you have all these begots. We might just do those next Sunday morning, because there are some incredible names and incredible testimonies in all of those begots. And so Joseph was not the father of Jesus. He was his stepfather, because Genesis 1:17, I believe it is, says that Joseph was the husband of Mary. It never says that he was the father of Jesus, because he wasn't. He was his stepfather. So like I said, Matthew's genealogy takes the ancestry of Christ through David all the way to Joseph. And guess what? Mary was also of the lineage of King David as well. We find that genealogy in the Gospel of Luke. And so, as I said, Joseph is not Jesus' natural father. Jesus in Matthew 1:16 says that he's the husband of Mary, being Jesus' stepfather, made Jesus part of the lineage of David. Notice verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." I think it would be a big enough surprise, probably cause a heart attack if I had an angel visit me. And notice in his greeting, number one, he didn't bow before Mary. Notice also, he didn't say, "Blessed are you above women." Twice we read, it says, "Blessed are you among women." How sad it is today, there's a certain term called Mariology. where people worship Mary as deity? Not so, folks. Not so. Why? Because in Mary's song that she will sing, she sings of God, her Savior. And there's only one way that you would need a Savior, and that's to be a sinner. And Mary was a sinner just like we are. Probably not to that extent. Just me, anyway, maybe not you. But he didn't worship Mary. He knew exactly who she was. She was this precious, poor virgin in Nazareth, of all places, that would bear the Son of God. Think about that sometime. Ladies, those of you that have bore children, what would it be like to have God the Son in your womb? Whew. Man, can you imagine? I'm sure everywhere she went, she was, watching her step, watching her language, watching everything she did. She, God with us. God with her. But you know what? Let me share this with you as well. When you become born again, guess what? God comes into your heart in the Holy Spirit and dwells in you. Do you not know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says? How much more so should we watch our language and our life and the places we go and the things that we do? We have God with us, in us. Ephesians tells us that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and we are sealed for the day of redemption. And we need to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. As I shared last week, if you were here, we can grieve and we can quench the person of the Holy Spirit by our sin. We have to be very, very careful. And one of the many wonderful things about the person, notice I said person, of the Holy Spirit, he convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And every time we go to sin, he goes, in our heart. We know better. And it's up to you and I to exercise our free will or our free won't. We have to be very, very careful. And this has really spoken to me this week. God with us, in me, the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And I've known this for 40 years, but every time I read the story, this account, I'm reminded by Mary and what she is bearing in the Son of God. We bear the Spirit of God. And God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so again, he says, blessed are you among women, not above. Verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Imagine. When she saw Gabriel. Now, again, because of what we experience here, with a lot of people celebrating the Xmas story. I was watching It's a Wonderful Life last night with an angel that was misrepresented. Gabriel was misrepresented in this guy named Clarence. You've seen it? That's not a holy angel. That's a goofy story with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. And it's far from the true Christmas story. So we have to be very, very careful. I can't imagine. Every time I read in Scripture of an angel appearing to someone, people fall on their face, just in awe. And here she sees Gabriel, and she heard what he had to say. She was troubled. The original language is perplexed. She was unnerved. You imagine, for a young girl, this was astonishing for an angel to appear to her and to give her the message that she received. As Zacharias was fearful of Gabriel's appearance, so was Mary. But Gabriel comforts them both with the same words, do not be afraid. Praise the Lord. For you have found favor with God. Look at verse 30. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. He even calls her by name. For you have found favor with God. Wow. That had to be a relief. And then when he tells her, not to be afraid, he reassures Mary now that she had nothing to fear, for you have found favor with God. What a blessing. Gabriel had brought a message of blessing and not of judgment. God had sovereignly chosen Mary before the foundation of the world to help carry out his plan of redemption for mankind. And what an incredible plan it is, would you say? We know the plan. We know the rest of the story. And what an incredible plan it is that God had to redeem us from our sins, that she would bear the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Even his name, Jesus, means Jehovah is salvation. That's why he came, to save you and to save me. And here she is. She's going to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. And through Mary would come the only hope for a sinful and fallen world. Can you imagine that? The only hope that the world has, a sinful and fallen world, is Jesus Christ and him alone. Period. God makes it very clear. He makes it very simple. Verse 31. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Wow. Now what Gabriel does is he gives her the assurance that she has found favor with God in his greeting. He tells her the gracious work of God that's going to take place in her life. And again, have you ever wondered what was going through Mary's mind at this time? I'm going to have the Son of God in my womb? Amazing. I'm sure Mary had probably heard Isaiah taught, 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. I'm sure she was very much familiar with the scripture verse. And all of a sudden, guess what? She's the virgin that the prophets talked about. Can't even imagine what she must have thought with what she heard. The concept of a pregnant virgin was inconceivable to her. And just think about it. It's almost like an oxymoron, isn't it? Pregnant virgin? But yet, again, who's writing this? Dr. Luke, of the virgin birth. God removes any excuses that people might have for not believing in the virgin birth. He has a doctor. And the concept of a pregnant virgin is inconceivable to her. Yet as we know from Isaiah 7:14, it's a fulfillment of the Messiah's birth to a virgin, that she would conceive and bring forth a son without the seed of a man. Had to be staggering, beyond comprehension for a young girl. I'm sure that she knew about the birds and the bees. Hello? And by the way, you parents with young kids, you need to teach your children about the birds and the bees at home, because it's tweaked in our public schools today. It is blasphemy what kids are being taught today. Notice that the angel Gabriel said, you will bear a son. Hello? Not an it. A boy. Male or female. Genesis chapter 1. Male, female. We are created in his image. Man, I tell you what, it gets under my skin with what I'm hearing and seeing going on in our public schools today, where kids are being taught. That's why you need to teach them at home. You don't have to get the script. I remember we had, in sixth grade, before we graduated, we had to watch a movie on creation. And it wasn't dirty, but it told us, male, female, husband, wife. That's another thing that ticks me off today. I'm not going to go on that one this morning. We're going to keep it simple here. I've only got 2 more hours in the message. So. Conceive and bring forth a son. Gabriel says, you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua. And guess what Yeshua means? Yahweh saves. As Jesus came to save that which was lost, you and me. He also tells her he will be great Would you say that Jesus is great? Whew. I can't even many times comprehend his majesty, his glory, his awesomeness in my life. He will be called the Son of the Highest, Son of God. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And guess what? That's our future home, the kingdom of God, and there will be no end to it. Isn't this just the greatest Christmas story? What does the Xmas story give you? Nothing. They say, ho, ho, ho. And I say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's God. God's Son, deity. Perfectly righteous in everything that he said and did. The Lamb of God without spot or blemish who came to take away the sins of the world. There's one other holiday, Holy Day, that I believe is the most important in the history of mankind. And again, look what the world's done with that one. They call it Easter, which is of the goddess Ashtar, a fertility goddess. That's why there's bunnies and eggs. Folks, this is Resurrection Day. Passover, where the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, came and died for your sins and mine. He was buried. He rose after 3 days. He ascended into heaven, and folks, he's coming again. Are you waiting? Are you ready? God's perfect Son. Didn't it blow you away? The two most important holidays in the history of the world, look what we've done to them. Verse 34, Mary's response. Don't you love it? I'm surprised she didn't faint. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? I don't have to give an in-depth study on this one, folks. I'm sure you guys know the birds and the bees. But you know what? Mary knew how babies were produced. Not like today. Sad. She knew how children were conceived. And it's not that Mary doubted here. She's just wondering how this could take place with her, since she did not know a man. 35. Gabriel informs her. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Wow. Amazing again, huh? Just what this girl is hearing from the angel Gabriel. Man, he tells her this will be through the third person of the Holy Spirit. And again, a reminder, the third person of the Holy Spirit lives in us if you're born again as well. Third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, will be involved in this creative miracle. Guess what? The Holy Spirit was also involved in the creative miracle in Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were right there in the first verse of Genesis. In the beginning, Elohim, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to say, let us make man in our image. And it talks about the Holy Spirit as well in the creation. And so the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, will be involved in this miracle as well. Power of the Highest will create life in Mary's womb. What a miracle. What a miracle. And again, God removes any doubt, doesn't he? People that doubt these things, they all took place. History proves it. God removes any doubt that a person might have. We are without excuse. But the sad thing is, this time of the year, there are very few people that hear the true Christmas story. Emmanuel, God with us. And so Mary's wondering, how's this going to happen? And Gabriel's answer very clearly is through the Holy Spirit. He will overshadow you, and the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Wow. Verse 36. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a what? An it, does it say there? A son, a boy. Remember in our day we used to pass out cigars. It's a boy or it's a girl. What do they do today? It's an it. Indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her womb. She didn't have to go and have the test. In her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. What another miracle. Can you imagine, ladies, going to the senior citizen center to play bridge with your maternity smock on? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's Zachariah. Imagine. A life changer. Teenager through the Holy Spirit. And again, one advanced in years. And so in verse 36, Gabriel gives Mary yet another shocker. Your relative, Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant, a son. Mary really didn't need another miracle to remove any doubt, but look what God does. Again, to prove that what Gabriel is sharing with Mary, through another miracle of the birth of a child, Elizabeth, God is going to just remove any other doubt that Mary might have had. But God graciously strengthens her faith with another divine sign, well advanced in years. That must have been a shocker. I can't wait to get to heaven and talk to Mary. Yeah. What did you think when Gabriel told you about Elizabeth? Mary, of course, knew. I guarantee you she knew, because Zacharias and Elizabeth had no children, both probably on Social Security by now. We're not given their ages, but commentators think somewhere between 70 and 90. Yeah, she was barren, no children, past childbearing age. But isn't that just like the Lord? Oftentimes, he will wait till we're past the point of anything but a miracle happening to prove that he's God. And here we see it twice. She must have been both surprised and overjoyed, you know. Mixed emotions. To hear that Elizabeth was in her sixth month. Two miraculous births that are going to come from this one chapter. Confirmed by Dr. Luke again, the beloved pediatrician. He talks about a lady advanced in years and a man beyond producing, having a baby boy in another 3 months. And also in 9 months, Mary will give birth to the Son of God. Whew. 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Do you guys believe this? Do you believe that with all of your heart? Why do we worry? Why do we stress? Why do we doubt? Why do we have lapse of faith? We all do. Someone mentioned that the other day, and I said, that's why over and over and over and over and over, God reminds us, don't worry, don't be stressed. Let not your heart be troubled. There's a million scriptures in here to encourage you and I. Don't lapse in your faith. Believe by faith, not by feelings. If you're walking by feelings, you're gonna have a roller coaster ride. You want to keep your walk consistent? Walk by faith. And so here we see up to this point, Mary, you know, what she had heard, humanly impossible. But, Gabriel therefore reminds her, and he reminds you and I today, that with God, nothing will be impossible. I've got that verse in blue. I've got it highlighted. I've got it, circled, stars, arrows. One of my favorite verses to hold on to, because in this life there's going to be things that come our way that oftentimes can rock us and devastate us, try to cause us to doubt. But with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing. How much is nothing? And as living proof, Mary will witness this firsthand in a moment when she goes to Elizabeth and Zacharias' house. And again, what a shocker it must have been for her. She heard Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, but to go and have Elizabeth answer the door with a maternity smock on, eating pickles and ice cream, just a joke. Her response, in the meantime, is beautiful, as she beautifully submits her life to the Lord. As Gabriel departs, look at verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." What she's saying, I'm just a slave of the Lord. Have your way, Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That's another scripture verse that we need to hold on to. You and I are bondservants of the Lord. You and I need to be submissive to the Lord. And let it be, Lord, according to your word. I think that's important, and what that will do, it'll strengthen your faith, and it'll help you get through the daily things that come our way. And the angel, not Clarence, Gabriel, departed from her. And so there he goes. He leaves. He had delivered the mail. Again, Zacharias and then to Mary. And notice what happens now. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. She was probably anxious to get there. I gotta see Elizabeth. 6 months along? Wow. And entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You want a pro-life verse? Life begins at conception, folks. Mary's got Jesus in her womb. Elizabeth has the forerunner, John the Baptist, in her womb. And when these two ladies come together, the babe leaps in her womb. Life. Right here in the womb. And the Bible very, very clearly tells us that life begins at conception. That is a human life in the womb of Mary, of Elizabeth, and of those ladies that are pregnant today. I can't believe how some churches today would preach that abortion is okay. Even up to 1 year now after a child is born in California, that child can be put to death. Sad. Right here. Tells us there's life in that little womb. Precious life. Verse 42. When she spoke out with a loud voice, can you imagine these two ladies? Ah! Blessed are you. Again, look at the term. Among women, not above, among. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So evidently, Elizabeth was told in advance who this was, through the Holy Spirit, that Mary would be bearing the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, in her womb. And not only that, isn't it amazing when the baby leaps, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine the joy with these two at this time. There had to be tears of joy, hugging, weeping together. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. You know what I find? Wherever Jesus is, there's joy. Jesus lives in you, there's joy. Because the Bible gives us a list of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, kindness, gentleness. A whole list of all of those wonderful things that we receive when we receive the Lord in our hearts. When we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why we sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Christmas spirits take on a whole new meaning when you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. The world at this time of the year, it saddens my heart, looking for happiness and celebration. But they don't have joy, because joy can only come through the person of the Holy Spirit. Notice again I said person of the Holy Spirit. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. You know what? You can hold on to that verse as well. Blessed are you, my friend, this morning, if you're a believer. The things that are told you and I from the Lord, they're going to come to pass. Why? Because with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing, absolutely nothing. The best is yet to come. Oh, celebrate this time of the year. It's a joyous time of the year. Sing the songs, ponder the words, share your faith when you get the opportunity. You know, wherever we go, we now have an opportunity to share the greatest gift of all, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. As we close, have you received that gift? A gift is not a gift until it's received. Man, I can buy you the most awesome gift on the planet, and if you don't receive it, it's not a gift. It's the same thing with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You must receive him. Because the Bible very clearly says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so as we close, have you received the greatest gift that a person could ever receive? Emmanuel, God with us, dwelling in you. It's incredible. And again, like I shared earlier, the first year that I looked up at the overhead and saw the words of the Christmas carols that I had been singing, I had not truly realized what they were saying because I was spiritually dead. But now that I was spiritually alive, the words of the songs came alive. And so if you this morning would like to receive the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, God's Son, I'd like you to stand quickly and invite him into your heart. Your choice to receive this gift or reject it. Anyone, as we close. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this incredible story, the true Christmas story. And I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will fill us overflowing with your joy this Christmas season. I know there are a lot of people hurting this time of the year. And the list is endless with some of the things that happen that can be difficult this time of the year. Broken hearts, broken lives. And I would like to lift those folks before you, Lord, and pray that you would be the God of all comfort and that you would wrap your loving arms around them, give them peace, give them joy in the midst of their trials. And Lord, when you bring them across our paths, may we help to comfort them. Embrace them, weep with them, pray for them. Thank you, Father, for everybody here. And I pray that each and every one of us would focus this week on the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. His grace, his love, his mercy. And when we look at the lights on our tree, may we be reminded of the light of the world that hung on a tree for us. Thank you for the worship this morning. Thank you for the fellowship this morning. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us so. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close, we usually have the elders come forward to pray for anybody that needs prayer. If you need prayer today, we want to pray for you, okay? Now let's all stand one more time. And